Hey, welcome back to the How to Run Your Day Without It Running You training. We're going to dive right into step two, which is auditing and assessing your day. How would you know what to change if you didn't really see clearly how things are? That's what we're going to do. So keep your response from step one in mind, which was your intention. You're going to take a big picture look at your day, and then we're going to drill into three very specific aspects of your schedule. Here's what I want you to do. Open up your calendar, wherever that is, on your phone, your laptop, your paper planner, however you roll, and give yourself a minute and just look it over, kind of scan from the top to the bottom and imagine yourself moving through the schedule. I want to know, what is your honest first impression? This is where I want you to practice what I call attuning to your body. That's moving the awareness out of your head and into your body below the neck. It's observing, knowing that nothing that you experience is right or wrong, but actually labeling sensations that you're feeling. And knowing that all emotions are experienced as physical sensations. So label what you feel when you look at your schedule for today or for tomorrow, for whichever day you want to do this for the audit. Some examples for how you could feel would be tight, anxious, excited, confused, happy, neutral, and you can also feel a combination of those. It doesn't have to be something that makes sense. You can be anxious and excited. I also want you to notice where the most prominent sensations are located. So of what you noticed, what one or two sensations do you feel most strongly? And where are they located in your body? For example, in your jaw, in the forehead, in your throat, the belly, the deep pelvis. Those are common places where people feel these more prominent sensations. And just observe that more closely in your body without any judgment. So if you feel something, you're not saying, well, I shouldn't feel that, because you just, your body feels what it feels. Now, to paint a picture for you, I know when I have back-to-back meetings in my schedule, especially if I'm leading those meetings and I have to be on, I will feel more anxious or overwhelmed when I look at a packed schedule compared to if my day is really well-paced for me and I have ample time for transition between meetings to complete action items before I have to move on to the next thing, even taking a minute to regroup and recover, then I feel pretty much excited and eager as I look at the calendar for the day. And sometimes maybe I have a decreased capacity because I didn't sleep well the night before. And I feel like what's on my schedule doesn't match my strengths at the moment. So maybe what I feel there is some hesitation, some apprehension, some uncertainty. There's so many possibilities here. All I want you to do is practice asking what is happening in my body when I look at what I have to face and what I have right now on my schedule. Now, let's get back to the concept of the audit. You see, your body is sending you messages all the time, and those messages are super powerful indicators of where your day may not be in alignment with the intention that you set in step one. Now, I already covered in lots of ways why that could be the case, but I want to point out that when you stop ignoring those sensations and start being aware of them, you gain so much agency and control, because any and all change starts with awareness. So let's say I'm going to ask you a few questions next, and I want you to just reply with a simple yes or no response. So when you look at your schedule for the day, does your body tell you you're moving toward fulfilling your intention? Yes or no? If you feel out of alignment with your intention, then there's three specific elements of your schedule that you can audit, so you know exactly what changes you need to make. And I call these three aspects put together calendar calm, because we pretty much have like calendar chaos when these three are not in place. And of course, you know, I just want to call out that things do fall apart and things are not always going to be how we want them to be, but day after day after day repeatedly, they shouldn't be in calendar chaos, right? This is where more often than not, I want you to set an intention and then audit your day and then make one, two, or three of these changes that we're about to go through. When you have calendar calm, that's when you have the time, the mental energy, and the emotional groundedness to complete what's needed and not expend all of your resources doing it. That's when your calendar is adequately paced. You have a sense of control over how intensely you're working, and you have the ability to adapt how you respond when things don't go as planned. You feel good at the end of the day, and you don't feel like you need a glass of wine right when you walk in the door. Or if you're like me, when my calendar gets too compressed, then I'm way more likely to lose it with my kids when they aren't listening at bedtime. The three elements that you're going to audit now are transition time, focused time, and white space. Let's dive into transition times first. That's when you have appropriate time between scheduled tasks. Look at your schedule and ask if you have sufficient time to wrap up action items and recover from any stress in between what you have scheduled. And I kind of like to say, keep it easy, yes or no. And if the answer is no, then see if there's an opportunity to make a tweak. So one big obstacle here is meeting fatigue. That's if you have meetings back to back without recovery or processing time. Or like I felt in healthcare leadership, there was literally no dead space. That's how the industry works, because services are billed by the minute. When you don't have transition time, you kind of feel like a dog chasing your tail. And there's tangible sensations of stress, and they accumulate, and it makes it hard for you to show up as at your best. So adequate transition time depends on you individually. What I need and what you need is not going to be the same. And what I may need in one day is not going to be the same as the next day. So maybe you need just a few minutes between things, or maybe you need longer periods, like 10 to 30 minutes between scheduled activities. One of my clients, a CEO, realized that having her assistant block out 15 minutes after every meeting, no matter what, made a world of difference in how she felt and how strongly she showed up in the next meeting that was on her schedule. To audit how you're doing with transition time, I want you to rate yourself. A zero is basically there's no transition time here. I'm moving from one thing right into the next. I'm lucky if I can go to the bathroom. Rate yourself a one if you have some transition time, but it's insufficient to what you need. And give yourself a score of two if you have adequate transition time. And remember, I don't want you to decide the rating based on what your thinking mind has to say. I want you to be in your body. Let your body tell you which one is correct. The next aspect of your schedule that I want you to audit is called focus time. And that's basically, do you have enough time in your calendar to actually complete the work undisturbed that you need to do? Do you know what the most important tasks for you to complete are? Do you have time to complete them that's blocked off so that you're not going to get distracted? And this piece is really critical because you're a high-performing woman. You have high expectations of yourself and you do your best. You do the highest quality work when you have focus time to get into a flow state. That's when you're the most creative. That's when you're the most impactful in the work that you're doing. You know, some mistakes I see clients make with focus time is not advocating that they need implementation time in the first place. So they're not raising their hand and saying, hey, I can't give you the deliverables because there's no time for me to work on that. And you really have to self-advocate for your needs to do your job to the best of your ability, because anything less than that is also going to cause you stress and it just slows you down. The other thing I've learned over the years with clients is this really becomes a problem when they give their team access to make changes to their calendar. Like they have block times for focus time, but then someone plunks in a meeting right in the middle, or they get a message, can I squeeze in something here? And you need to have very clear rules and expectations about who and when your schedule can be modified without your consent. And this is hard because you want to be a problem solver. You know, you want to help things move forward and, you know, you're a leader. You want to help take the burden off of other people, but not at your own expense. So make a commitment to stick to your schedule and not sacrifice your focus time for 1 month. And I promise you are going to feel such a difference. The last mistake I often see that I'll share right now is that clients with this is when they're not building focus time into the schedule, even though they need it. And they know that ahead of time. So for example, if you're, you know, someone like a home health physician and they don't budget time between clients to actually do the documentation, or if you're in the type of industry where you use proposals to get work, but you don't actually have time to write the proposal after you have a call with someone. It's not built into your schedule. And when do women catch up on work that doesn't happen during the workday? Late at night, early in the morning, and on the weekends, usually. And I was there. I did that for many years until I realized that this problem was preventable, that I could prevent this capacity issue by thinking ahead and auditing my schedule for focus time. So I want you to go ahead and rate what number you would give yourself for your focus time that you see in your schedule. 0 is not enough focus time. A score of 1 is some, but it's insufficient focus time. And a score of 2 means you have adequate focus time. You have time to get the work completed, undisturbed, that you need to do. Now, to help you get more done in these focus time blocks that you have in your schedule, I want to recommend that you check out the Pomodoro technique. You basically pick one thing that you're going to work on during this time frame. You want to be really clear on what you're going to complete in 25 minutes without a single distraction. So not a single email notification, phone ding, or any of the apps you have open or anything. You're not switching to anything else. It's like gamifying work. After 25 minutes, you take a 5-minute break. You repeat it for 3 rounds. And after the 3rd round, you take a 25-minute break. So it's amazing how much you can get this done. You can get done with this. And I like to do this from about 10 to 11:30. That's my most productive time. And that's when I put high priority things where I do not want to be disturbed on my schedule. And I make sure I have that in my schedule no less than 2 days a week. Great. Okay. Now we're going to move into auditing your schedule for white space. This is the 3rd and final part of the audit. And this one might be hard to wrap your head around depending on your industry. Now, I've shared that I was in healthcare as a clinician at one point, and believe me, there's no white space in healthcare. And when I moved into leadership positions and had a little more luxury with that, I knew right away it was something I needed. So much of being a successful leader is connecting to others and being creative and having thought leadership and really staying grounded in my body and with my emotions so that I can bring out the best in others when they're in my presence. So if you're leading a team, a department, or a company, or if your job needs you to innovate systems or ideas, then you have to have white space scheduled in to have the capacity for that type of work. Now, I know you're probably thinking, yeah, sure, I agree with you, but my organization doesn't have that culture, or you know, you're probably feeling some objections to this. But neuroscience has concluded that we cannot work continuously and maintain output. So the problem is that, you know, what we expect of ourselves and what the organizations we work for and or are creating are not in alignment with how the brain works. You know, we know that the quality of your work decreases by 20 to 25 minutes when you don't have a break, and it almost stalls out at 90 minutes. Your brain needs white space. It's really not disputable. You're a human being, not a human doing. You need a few minutes to look out of the window. You can do that right now. Be with yourself. Respond to those body sensations, which are powerful messages that your body is giving you about what you need. That's enough like convincing you about why you need white space. What is white space? So that might look like adding just simply like 1 to 5 minutes between scheduled activities. It could be as easy as sitting in the car for 1 minute in silence before you get out. It could be to close your eyes at your desk so nobody has to know you're doing anything. You could just sit with your eyes closed and, you know, you're not actively thinking or problem solving. You're just allowing yourself to be at mental and physical rest. You could lay on the ground if you stand all day. You could listen to a song that, you know, is what you want in the moment for your mood. And it could definitely be for longer time frames as well, like sitting down for lunch away from your computer and just being fully present. But I just want you to know with this that it does not have to be complicated. You don't have to like go to a yoga class or, you know, meditate for 30 minutes. I'm not encouraging that. I think that if you were to incorporate more intervals of just short 1 to 5 minute breaks, you would really feel a difference in your ability to come back to work feeling refreshed and more regulated. That's what I mean by white space. Go ahead and audit your score for the white space in your schedule. And 0 is no white space. 1 is some but insufficient white space. And 2 is adequate white space. If we kind of wrap all this together, we started out setting your intention. And having white space really helps the brain reboot and for you to be able to recalibrate. And just a little bit goes a long way in helping you feel more in control emotionally and able to recharge. And so, you know, all 3 of these pieces of the audit are intended to help you fulfill the intention that you set. Now, let's assume that on one hand, you have all these things in your schedule. I think the next piece that is hard for people is actually taking it, using this time, actually following through. And so I just wanted to bring that up in case that feels true for you. Now, the last thing that we're going to do here is interpret your score. So add up the total points that you have. So you had 3 parts of your schedule to audit. If you scored a total of 5 to 6 points, well, beautiful job. You've obviously developed good skills to help you sustain your pace and drive. I want to encourage you to just go back through this, utilize this as a tool to maintain that score and make sure that you're feeling the benefits from these practices. If you scored a 3 or 4, then you have some supportive strategies in place, but you just need to refine them. You need to give yourself permission to make these shifts that'll get you all the way to a 5 or 6, and then you're really going to notice the difference in how you feel by the end of the day. And if you scored a 1 or 2, this highlights a big opportunity for you. I think that's exciting that small changes can result in such a big boost in your quality of life. I mean, really, we're talking about shifting minutes in your day to have such a different experience of running your day without it running you, you know? You'll actually find that you get more done. And what's most important to me is that you'll feel more satisfied with the work that you're doing. And that's on top of the benefits that you'll feel with your energy level and your mood by the end of the day. Here's something that is personal to me that I want to share with you. If you scored somewhere between like a 0 and 3 in your audit, my guess is that you're using air quotes here, best scenario thinking. It's actually pretty common that women, and this is myself included, about 8 years ago, plan out their calendar based on everything going perfectly smoothly. Here's what happens. We underestimate the time things take and overestimate what we can accomplish. That's okay, but we just need to be aware of that. If you scored low, it could be that your schedule is too full because it's not achievable. This really takes some self-reflection to ask if that is something that's happening for you. And if it is, then I want you to give yourself 3 weeks where you put 20% less on your calendar. Now, I had a client, Judy, and we did this, and she found that she got so much more done at a higher quality and felt better about the work she did over the week, over the month. It was all just such a